This is the iPhone Alley Podcast, episode 14 for July 26th, 2008. Welcome to the iPhone Alley Podcast. I'm Michael Johnston, and this is the show that discusses all things iPhone. Check out iPhoneAlley.com for the latest tips, news, and reviews on everything iPhone. And you can get the show notes for the podcast at iPhoneAlley.com/podcast. And joining me tonight from iProg Magazine is Mr. Bill Palmer. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Is it dorky that I was playing air drums along with the intro music just now?
Yes, absolutely.
In that case, I was not. Forget I even brought it up.
Well, that's okay.
I'm trying to get my jokes in early tonight in case my internet craps out again.
That's fine. But you know what? It's okay that you were playing the drums along with it, because we got to interview Patrick Wilson from Weezer a couple days ago, right?
Yeah, how about that? That was cool. I mean, you know, He's one of us, you know. I mean, he's a founding member of one of the most popular bands of the past couple of decades. But, you know, usually a publicist patches a call and there's somebody listening in the background to make sure you don't ask anything too crazy. And he was like, "You guys want to get on Skype? Here's my Skype name." And it was just that easy, you know.
I mean, it was great. And he's a total Mac nerd, and he knows what he's talking about. And we had a good time doing that. And I, you know, thanks again for letting me do that, because it was very cool. I really like Weezer. It just shows that, you know, it's really good to have connections with everybody, because you can just say, "Oh yeah, well, you know, we'll talk to Patrick Wilson and, you know, do that and you can help me out." So yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, well, can't keep all the fun to myself, and that'd be a lesson to you kids. Be nice to old Bill here, because he's got, you know, he's got candy for you at the end of the day.
Well, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's like to catch a predator, Santa Claus edition or something.
Well, you can say that you hang out with rock stars. How about that?
Yeah, if by getting on Skype with them for a half an hour at a random time and they'll never remember me again, you mean hanging out? Then yes, I hang out with them.
Well, you see some of them in person, right?
Yeah. It's sometimes. You know, usually it's sort of an out-of-body experience. I was sitting at a poolside with the guys from Candlebox the other day. I'm like, I used to listen to these guys in high school. Is this even possible? But what are you going to do?
So be nice to Mr. Bill. I think that's the idea here. And Jeff Gamet joins us from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
How's it going tonight?
Good. And with you?
I am doing excellent. Although, I really don't remember the last time I hung out by the side of the pool with a rock band. I'm just going to chalk that up to probably being so drunk at the time. I don't remember the incident.
That would be.
Oh, I saw you guys with Coldplay at Macworld Expo. You were the one. And then Steve Jobs came over and brought you a beer. Don't deny it, Gamut. I saw it.
You know, okay, but it was a naturally grown beer. All right.
Right,
you did Steve's way.
You did get to hang out with Devo, right, after the Devo show?
I did, and you know that they're really cool, and that was kind of a once in a lifetime experience. How often do you just suddenly find yourself in the same room with Devo, and you get to sit there for like half an hour and critique their performance with them?
That doesn't happen very often, if ever.
Okay, my life rocks. I just realized that.
Yes.
Wow, it's good to be me.
It's a very good gig to be Jeff.
Just can't wait to be Jeff. They could make a movie about you with lion characters.
Yeah.
Oh, they totally could.
You can tell that we don't have a lot to talk about.
Sorry, no, don't let me interrupt.
That's fine. But Jeff, you got an iPhone 3G, I hear, right?
I did. I picked it up this morning, and I got up at 6:30 in the morning so that I could be to the Flatiron Crossing Apple Store in Broomfield before 8 in the morning, because you know the Apple stores are opening at 8 now,
right,
to accommodate the demand for iPhones.
I did notice that. Yeah, I was looking at the the website. I think I get an email from someone just about every night now saying there are no iPhones at any stores anywhere. You know, I didn't, whenever I get that email, I just don't happen to be up and I don't check that usually. But last night I did actually check the thing and there weren't any iPhones at all. Every single state was out of iPhones. Now I don't know how that actually works. If it's, yeah, we're out of stock from that day, and that's, you know, if we don't get another shipment in for the next day, that's what we will have. Or if that does account for what they're going to be getting the next day. I assume it's not, because you got your iPhone, right?
Right. And so it sounds to me like what's happening is that at the end of the day, they get a shipment for the following day, so that they know in the morning how many iPhones they have to dole out. And the people at Flannery Crossing told me that every morning when they open the doors, they know that by noon at the latest, all their iPhones are going to be gone.
So that's pretty insane. Why are they? Why do you think they're so low on iPhone stock right now? I mean, this didn't happen last year, and the iPhone seemed to be a bigger deal when it was, you know, the first iPhone.
You know, I have a feeling that it's a bigger deal this time, and we're just so deep in the middle of all this, we didn't realize that for the rest of the world that isn't in the middle of everything we're doing every day, that it really is that big of a deal. I mean, when I showed up at the Flannery Crossing store this morning, it was like 7:30. There was already at least 40 people in line.
Wow.
And so I climbed in line thinking, what the hell is going on here? And before the store opened, there was at least another 40 people behind me. So I'm going to speculate that by the time the doors opened and we could go in, the line was pretty much 100 people deep.
Wow.
Yeah, and this is 2 weeks after the iPhone 3G launched.
Yeah, so there are lines already. There are lines still every day outside of the Apple stores for the iPhone. Do you think that's because the supply is being diverted overseas as well, or do you think production is down because of that in the U.S.? Or,
you know, I'm thinking that they had a production level that was predetermined for the launch, and then for probably a couple weeks afterwards, while they gauged what the real interest is. And my guess is that now we will see the production really ramp up because, well, we also have the August 22nd second launch, which is like another 20 countries.
Right.
So
yeah.
So they have to have iPhones to handle over 40 countries at that point. So I have a feeling we're going to see this ramp up and the lines will start getting shorter.
Now, you said that you pointed me to an article that you wrote up on the they have a voucher system now going on with the iPhones.
Yeah.
How does that work out?
Actually, really well. Apple started doing this voucher thing today, Saturday morning.
Okay.
And so that was just a wonderful little coincidence that I decided this would be the Saturday that I dragged my ass out of bed early for an iPhone. And it turned out to be the day they start doing the voucher thing. So what happened was they came out before the store opened and they ran everyone through the routine, you know, make sure that you have this, this, and this with you, make sure that you're not coming in with a phone on a corporate account. If you're already with AT&T, you have to go do this other thing. You know, they took care of all the preliminary stuff that would piss off people if they got inside after an hour.
Right. Yeah.
And then found out they had to go do all this other stuff. And then they said they were going to have people come down the line outside the store. And this is inside a mall, you know, just for people that aren't familiar with Flatiron Crossing. And they were going to come down with their little hand scanner tricorder things and do what's essentially a mock sale. So they could pre-qualify everyone in line. So
nice.
If there was a problem, you would know before you got inside. And then they gave you a little voucher coupon. And if you go look at the article that I ran at iPodObserver.com, I took a picture of the one in my hand. And it's this little voucher that says, you know, which iPhone you want. And so there's a nice little X by black 16 gig for me. And then when they run out of vouchers, they know there's no more phones. So that was really cool because that meant before you got in the store, if you had that little white square of paper in your hand, you knew that the iPhone that you wanted would be waiting inside for you.
Nice.
So there was no surprise waiting in line, wondering if the model you want is still available, if there's any at all. And the really cool thing was that once you had that little voucher thing, if you wanted to leave and go get breakfast, go do something else and come back later in the day when the lines would obviously be shorter, you could. You have till 6 o'clock at night to come back and get your iPhone.
Very good.
I thought that was really cool. Now, I ended up just staying in line the whole time so that I could see how the whole process was going to go. And so I ended up spending over 2.5, almost 3 hours from the time I got in line to the time I left the store. And most of that was just standing, waiting in line, because the process took like 10 minutes once. I had one of their little blue shirt people to help me out.
Yeah. I was really happy with that when I went in there, and I was Ustreaming that whole experience, and I had, you know, the people on Ustream. I just said, hey, someone time this and then tell me how long it takes after it's done. And it took like 7 minutes for me. And, you know, both of us have iPhone accounts, right? You had an iPhone account before?
Right.
Okay. So I don't know if it takes much longer for someone who's new to AT&T. I assume it really doesn't. Maybe just asking for a little bit more information, because, you know, they didn't ask where I lived and all that. I think it was just like the last four digits of my social security. But yeah, it's a really great process. You know, especially the fact that you don't have to go up to a register in the store to get your iPhone.
Yeah, I have to say that Apple has figured out the least painful way to handle in-store phone purchase and activation.
Now, did you open it up and have them do that for you in the store? Did you take it home and have iTunes activate it?
I did it all right in the store, because I wanted to make sure that when I walked out the door, I had a working iPhone.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I walked out the door with two iPhones in my hand, because, you know, of course, all my data was still on my first gen iPhone.
Right.
And I had this weird little kind of limbo phase, which I didn't expect. It went on for almost 20 minutes, where I could get incoming calls, but I couldn't dial out.
Hmm.
And I'm sure that was just the transition process of switching me to the new phone. And once that was done, it was all fine.
Yeah. I think that's because they're actually switching over switching you to a new SIM card instead of just, you know, swapping the two SIM cards through. And they, you know, I've had to replace my iPhone. I actually replaced the first one the day that I got it, because there was some information on there that didn't transfer. Well, it was like 1.1.4 information transferred over to the 2.0, and the 2.0 didn't like something in there, whether it was from a jailbreak or what, I'm not sure, but, you know, it kept crashing. So I got another one there. They obviously gave me a brand new iPhone and a brand new box. When I went to the Genius Bar another time, for a battery life issue, they swapped out the phone, so I got a new box. But I still had to actually, you know, sign up for. They had to get all my information for AT&T again, because they were switching over to a different SIM card. And they told me that, you know, after that, you know, first couple of weeks, you know, while they don't have Genius Bar phones that they can just pop out of a little box and swap it for you. Once they are able to do that, they'll be able to just, you know, swap out the SIM card. If you've ever had to do that before, it'll just be swapping out a SIM card and then plugging it into iTunes. So it'll be a lot quicker than it is right now. And I'm sure they have them at this point. And you got the black one, right?
I did. And, you know, the white was fine, but I guess I'm just a black kind of guy.
Okay. Well, since I guess we were talking about jailbreak, let's move on to that. I know, Bill, that's not your thing, right?
Really? No, I've been jailbroken since the day the iPhone came out a year ago. You've got the wrong Bill Palmer.
Yeah. So anyway, there is
mine is a dry wit occasionally.
Right. There was a really interesting article on Gizmodo, basically talking about all these different reasons why jailbreaking on the iPhone is, still necessary. And there are a couple of the points I'll read off. One of them is that there's no changing or enhancing of iTunes or iPod functionality. The iPod and iTunes part of the phone is completely off limits to developers. Obviously, no background processes, which is, you know, good right now, especially since the iPhone is kind of buggy anyway with the 2.0 software. You can't integrate the apps into the OS. You know, can't do pirated games and all that kind of stuff, which is fine. And you don't have deep access to the hardware, which is one of those. The deep access to the hardware is a thing that I'm kind of upset about, that and the iPod thing, for two reasons, and I'll explain both. One, there's a Last.fm application out there, and if you don't know what Last.fm is, basically that's just it does a few things. Mostly focuses on tracking what you listen to, be it through iTunes or whatever you listen to music through. And it uses that information to do quite a few things. You know, for example, picking out more music that you might be interested in that you haven't discovered before. So, you know, based on what you listen to, they can also tell you, you know, hey, there are concerts in your area with, you know, these bands that you like. That kind of thing. It's also social networking based around music. It's a really, really cool service, especially the fact that you can just say, hey, give me a whole bunch of music right now that I've never heard before and that I would probably like based on what I listen to. And, you know, they just have a little radio station that you can play. And you can do that with the current Last.fm application on the phone. But the big thing, and you need this scrobbling feature, which it does. That's what... tracks your music. They call it, they scrobble the information to Last.fm. But because there's no you can't interface with the iPod on the phone, third-party developers cannot. The Last.fm application that was on Jailbreak was tracking all the things that you were listening to and scrobble that up right to Last.fm, which was phenomenal. With this version that's the official App Store version, it does not track that, so it makes that so much less useful to me, because that was the big deal for me. I hardly ever went into the Last.fm application. Another one of the really cool things that it would do is if you would go into the Last.fm app while you're listening to music, it would actually pull up artist bios. It would tell you when concerts are happening in your area with that artist. It could even bring up lyrics and similar artists. It was very cool, and all that functionality is now gone in the actual official App Store version of Last.fm. And the other thing is, and we had that developer on a while ago that told us that that pointed this out to us, that with the Quick, the streaming application where you can stream right from your cell phone. Like I said before, I streamed the entire experience of waiting in line and all of that right from my iPhone. And that was a Jailbreak application. You can have access to the camera with the App Store and the SDK that they have out there, but it's only to grab a picture. You call the picture taker, it brings up a thing, and you take your picture and you say, this is what I want, I'm good with that. It sends it back to the application, and that's all it has. The application cannot have any interaction with the hardware. So that means that Quick will not be on the iPhone. At least with the current version of the SDK, which really sucks because Quick is very, very cool. And, you know, I can understand for some things you don't want to have applications, you know, interacting with the hardware on a hardware level. And I think there are ways that they could get around it by, you know, being able to supply, you know, more information from the camera, for example, for Quick, that kind of thing. They can just, you know, add more functionality to the current SDK. But the stuff with, you know, iPod, not being able, you can't interact with that, or iTunes, that really sucks. So there are a lot of, you know, different things that Jailbreak is still good for. So there is a Jailbreak out that we mentioned last show. And really, it's only good for if you want to unlock your first generation phone, or if you want to do, you want to get in and do some tweaking with your stuff. Or you can do tethering now with your iPhone. And that's basically done through Wi-Fi. You create a little ad hoc network, and your iPhone can share its cellular internet with your Mac or PC. Very cool, especially with the 3G iPhone. So, Bill, I know that you're not a fan of Jailbreak, so I'm going to direct this to Jeff. What do you think of Jailbreak? Do you think that...
Basically, what you're saying, Bill, is screw you.
My answer might actually surprise you, but let Jeff go first.
I'll okay. let Yeah, I'll let Jeff go first. What do you think that Jailbreak is still important? Do you think it's still going to play a big role? Not a big role, but any sort of role in you know, the iPhone right now, or is it quickly going away and it's only going to be good for people who want to unlock?
You know, I think that jailbreaking will stay around for a while. I think it will be kind of marginalized, and I know there's a whole group of hardcore jailbreakers out there that, as soon as I said that, they broke out in a sweat and they're shaking their fists at me right through the internet. They're shaking their fists at me. But if you look at the majority of people that are buying iPhones, they're not people that want to go digging that deep under the hood. So the App Store will give them everything that they want. That said, jailbreaking to me has one single purpose above all else that makes it useful for those of us that are comfortable doing it, and that's tethering.
Right.
Because, yeah, I mean, without tethering, I really feel like AT&T and Apple have given us a hobbled system, because we have this very powerful Wi-Fi hotspot in our pockets. And man, that would just be so great to be able to hork that bandwidth, that 3G bandwidth, for laptops when we're out and about and we need more than we can do just with an iPhone interface. And then, of course, there's all kinds of other things that people want to be able to do that require jailbreaking. But tethering, to me, that's the big thing for a jailbreak.
That was the biggest thing for me as well. That, you know, without being able to tether, yeah, I would probably still jailbreak, just because, you know, I'm kind of obligated to try things out and look at, you know, how they work. But there really wouldn't be a big feature there for me for jailbreak. And that's what I was really looking forward to with my 3G iPhone. And I did it with my first generation iPhone as well, because it was so handy to be able to do that.
You know, the big thing for me, for when I jailbroke my original iPhone, my first gen iPhone, it was so I could do screenshots. And I mean, that was it. That was reason enough at the time for me to jailbreak. I didn't care about anything else.
Yeah.
But I really needed to be able to do screenshots.
And they did actually add that in there.
The
big thing with jailbreaking, you know, 98% of you know, everything besides unlocking, it's just kind of filling in for, you know, stuff that Apple hasn't just put in there already. You know, they put the screenshot stuff in there in the iPhone 2.0 software. Tethering may come. I doubt it, but it may come. You know, these other features, you know, such as being able to integrate with the hardware, like the video for, you know, applications like Quick or for applications like Last.fm. That may come soon when Apple has time to work on it. But right now, it's just kind of sort of filling in for what Apple hasn't done yet. Now, Bill, what is your take on jailbreak? What do you think about it?
Well, I think, you know, listening to the two of you talk about it in the way that you have just now and in the way that you guys do every week, I think it shows that in the right hands and under the right circumstances, I hate to call it jailbreaking. It implies that I'm in jail, but okay, jailbreaking, it can be harmless and even beneficial, because you know, you're doing it for a specific reason. What I've always had an issue with is the people who do it to kind of show off, and then they take it to another level, and instead of just letting it be sort of an experimental playground for sort of the, you know, most capable 1% who want to, like, sort of jump off that cliff and be a guinea pig, they try to push it on everyone else, and they brag, and they're like, oh, I can do this, and you can't. And a lot of them spent the past year trying to get a lot of people that have no business hacking their iPhones to do it just for, I don't know, like they're trying to spread a virus, like there's zombies going around, you know, or a vampire, whichever one bites somebody, just to make them into a crazy person too. And I think, you know, it can continue to be sort of a leading edge thing. It's like with Firefox. I'm not a fan of using Firefox myself. I won't go into that, but I do see that some of those features come out of the people who are willing to use it, and I'm glad there are people using Firefox and kind of taking the hit on that and coming up with the stuff that Apple's going to steal for Safari later. So I don't mind when I see somebody like one of you guys with your iPhone hacked and you're doing crazy stuff, because you're out there sort of helping craft the future of it. It's just the people are kind of doing it for, I don't know, for no clear reason that have always just kind of bugged me.
Gotcha. Yeah, there are so many cool things that you can do once your iPhone has been opened up like that. You know, especially for me, besides those extra features, just because it is OS X, and I'm, you know, just of the geeky sort, I, you know, if my iPhone, when I first got it, you know, that day that I got it and it was kind of crashing on me because of whatever I imported over, if for some reason Apple just kind of had the ability to hop in there and dig through the OS real quick, or even just my user folder, I could have gone in there, trashed a plist, and I would have been fine. I wouldn't have had to get a new iPhone. You know, that kind of stuff is really cool to me. And I was having a discussion with someone because I'm really waiting on 2008's mobile chat to come out, and I was talking to Saverio about that. He's one of the developers, and I said I would really like to see the ability to put the address book aliases, because if you go into a address book on the Mac and you put the AIM screen name into address book, when you see that in iChat, that will actually show the name and not the screen name. So if it's, you know, iProng Magazine 37, it'll actually show up as Bill Palmer, you know. So that's really good for me because, I mean, at this point, I know all of my contacts by name. I don't know them by the screen name. So when I bring it up on AIM, you know, I don't know who it is. So I was looking through, and we were trying to figure out whether or not they could actually pull that information from the address book sync information. And so all I had to do, because I had a jailbroken iPhone, went in with SFTP, loaded up the address book database, and just kind of looked through. And sure enough, all of that information is still in there, even though it's not displayed on the iPhone in the contacts application. So, you know, that just, you know, that kind of stuff is really cool for me to get in there and dig around. And I also figured out, like I said before, that there's FS events on the phone and, you know, Spotlight. It's fun for people to look around and tweak and do that kind of thing. So there are benefits to it. And I definitely appreciate that Apple does not leave that open by default on the phone, because it could be very strange for someone like my mother, for example, or someone who just wants to use it as a phone, to have access to that and kind of stumble across it and not know what to do with it. And that would just make it so much more complicated. So I think definitely jailbreak is great for people who want to get in there and do that kind of stuff. But it's good that Apple doesn't have it, you know, have the phone open by default.
I have to agree with you on that. And I base that on seeing so many people when I'm traveling around and at different events and stuff that have jailbroken iPhones, and they don't get what they've done to their phone. And all they wanted was to have different icons. And so you've given them this incredible power that they don't understand, and no good can come of that.
Right. And I just want to transition over to did you hear about Super Monkey Ball being hacked and for the iPhone, so the DRM was actually stripped from that? Did you hear about that, Jeff or Bill?
I did.
One? Okay.
I did. And on one hand, I thought, okay, that's interesting, because that means that there really is that much interest in the App Store and all these programs that are being pumped out. And then on the other hand, I thought, come on, people, it's $10. Stealing is bad, okay?
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting that they can just, you know, it's kind of a proof of concept type of thing, I think. Hopefully they're not going to continue releasing you know, hacked versions of applications, but basically here's how it works. Whoever got it first had to pay for it and get it off of the App Store. Once they've done that, they went in there and stripped out the DRM, because every single application on the App Store, you know, if you've ever tried, you know, sending someone an application that you've downloaded to put on their phone, it'll ask for a password. And that's because, just like music that you get from iTunes, it has DRM on it. The applications also have FairPlay DRM, which is really good for protecting the developers, you know, because this is how they make their money. So what they've done was they extracted the file, they looked in there, and they figured out however you would strip out the protection on there. And this requires a jailbroken phone to actually get it to work. You can't just drag it into iTunes, because if you drag it into iTunes, it'll say, okay, you need to authorize your computer for this person who has, you know, who bought the application. You actually have to do a couple strange things. So obviously, first you have to have a jailbroken iPhone. Then you have to have SSH installed on there so you can, you know, log in there remotely. Then you need to actually toss the application over across Wi-Fi into the phone, into the applications directory, make sure all the permissions are correct, create a special folder in your user folder, and, you know, make sure those permissions are correct. And then you need to restart the phone, and then magically that application will appear on your iPhone Springboard. And I've done this, and it actually does work. Do you think that this is going to be a widespread thing? Are we going to start seeing piracy of applications? Are we going to see, you know, Super Monkey Ball? I mean, Super Monkey Ball's already on the Pirate Bay, I'm sure. But are we going to start seeing a whole bunch of these applications start showing up? And is this going to be a whole new piracy thing? Or is it just going to, I mean, because it requires the jailbreak.
Boy, I sure hope not, because if it is, I mean, good job, guys. You've shown Apple that their DRM, which has always been pretty lax on this stuff, isn't strict enough. And it means the next time we're going to have stricter DRM, which is actually going to make it harder for us to use it. I mean, what are these guys trying to accomplish with this stuff? It's like they've declared war on Apple and capitalism, and it's just anarchy or something. I don't get this stuff at all. I mean, like, you know, the jailbreak stuff, you know, I give you guys like a benefit of the doubt because some of you are doing some very constructive stuff. What's constructive about making it so you can steal software that's cheap to start with?
Yeah, it's not a good thing at all for developers, obviously. And, you know, I'd be really upset to see that that happen with all these, with applications going on Pirate Bay and all of that. I think that Apple will eventually, because whenever their DRM is broken, and I think it right now, I was looking through FairPlay on Wikipedia, and I think the last entry there was that someone had actually broken it, and Apple hasn't fixed that yet. But that basically just, I mean, that's for the music, and that requires, you know, having the correct information for decrypting the actual file, so you have to have your password, and it, you know, does all the decryption, and it just spits out a clean, unencrypted file. I'm not sure if that has anything to do with the way that the apps are DRM'd, but I'm sure that Apple is working right now on how to, you know, to fix this, to patch it, and they have many times in the past with the songs on iTunes, and I think that they've the way that they've done it hasn't affected the end user every time that they've patched it in any way. I think it just kind of, you know, the older files that you purchase from iTunes will be able to, you know, be unencrypted, but the new files that you purchase off of iTunes that have DRM won't, you know, be able to be decrypted because they've patched it. And it, again, just requires your password. So I think that I don't know if it's going to change anything for Apple or the end user. Obviously, I think they're going to try and patch it. But thankfully, it does require jailbreak. Because, right. And so there aren't, you know, that many people who do it besides the people who are really unlocking. I don't think there are that many other people who will be jailbreaking their phones, you know, simply to jailbreak it, you know, if they don't have an unlocked phone. So, Jeff, what's your take on that?
All right. I'm thinking that this won't be a huge deal. And now, of course, anytime someone's stealing software, shame on you, because what you're doing is hurting the developers. But I'm not going to stand on a soapbox about that, at least yet. what I think is going to happen is that, yes, just like everything else, we will see a subset of people that pirate the software, and Pirate Bay is going to have hacked versions of iPhone and iPod Touch apps, just like they have hacked versions of everything else, and the stuff will be there. But I think that it will be a subset of people that actually are abusing the system and downloading these hacked applications. And honestly, I think a lot of the people that will be doing this are just simply the people that don't get what it is that they're doing to the developers.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be a small number of people, but still, you know, that small number of people are going to be hurting the people that are working so hard to create these applications.
Yeah, and we want the developers to, you know, to be compensated for it because we love the games. You know, Super Monkey Ball is a fantastic game. I gladly spent $10 for it, and I love playing the game. And there are so many other applications out there that, you know, are worth what you pay for them, or, you know, they're worth more, way more than what you pay for them, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, the message is kids, don't steal the applications on the App Store. It's not nice.
And it's very uncool.
Very uncool. It is. So with that, let's talk about the 2.1 update. There was rumored last week that there was an update that some you know, unknown people were using and accessing different various sites, and they have finally seeded version 2.1 to developers, which means it's pre-release and it's beta version, and you know, it's not available for the public yet because it's still, I would assume, not stable and not completely finished. It's just, you know, being tested to see if it is finished. But we've heard that there are a couple little goodies that Apple has added along with, I really, really hope, a lot of stability finally.
Oh, please, please.
You know, honestly, I don't want any more features in there. I'm fine with the features that are there right now. I just want the thing to be stable. Because, you know, I've been, if you follow me on Twitter, and that's, I hardly ever plug my Twitter on the podcast, it's twitter.com/MichaelJohnston. I have this, you know, running joke going that it's just, you know, whenever my phone crashes, I'll, you know, I'll post to my iPhone crash live blog and just,
you're
you
up
know,
to number six, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm up to number six, yeah. And I would really like to see it like a kernel panic screen or something, you know, like you get on the Mac, that'd be kind of entertaining. But yeah,
I want it to come up and say, "Oh no, your iPhone broke."
Just have just a lolcat up there.
Yeah,
that would make everything better. Lolcats just fix everything, even if the phone is crashed. If they threw up a lolcat there, that would be fine with me.
Well, you know, every time your iPhone crashes, God kills a kitten.
Oh man. So.
See, that right there makes up for all my negativity on the whole show, right? That, I hope, because you know, I got to tell you, last time I was, I don't know, maybe I was saying it and it cut out last week. I don't know how much of it made it on air with my internet issue, but what was happening to me last week was my iPhone was really stable for some reason compared to everybody else's, and yet this past week I was using the Maps application, walking over to Sunset Strip, and while I was typing into the Maps application, my music would start skipping.
Oh yeah, I've had that happen. Yeah. I had a friend have that happen in the car last night. We were listening with a tape adapter, and it was skipping like it was a CD.
Whoa. Yeah, it's like, what the heck, did we go back 15 years now? So
I know.
You know, now that it's affecting me. I mean, now that this is a problem for me, I want them to fix it really quick. Before, I didn't care it was you guys, but well, these guys better not be sleeping more than 2 hours a night till they get this fixed.
No,
right?
They,
I mean, it's all about me. It's all about the eye. So
there are just so many problems with it. The skipping is one of them. The fact that, you know, I was on a trip to Chicago, and it's like an hour long trip, and you know, I have to see where we are every moment of the trip. So because I'm impatient, but you know, I'm listening to music over
because the window is so hard to look out. Right.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. No, I have to be looking at my phone. but. So I'm playing music through an FM transmitter, of course, and I'm switching out back and forth from the iPod to the Maps application. And before, that was just not a problem at all on the other version of the software, on 114 and all those previously, even with, you know, it jailbroken. It's extremely slow doing even just that kind of simple little task. Anyway, the couple little goodies that we've heard about so far are additions to core location, which is the thing that, you know, figures out where you are using the cell towers, the Wi-Fi networks, and of course GPS if you have an iPhone 3G, and I believe that this only affects people with GPS, but they're adding the ability to track how fast you're traveling, so that's rumored that may be for doing more turn-by-turn, like GPS-type things. And there are also little mentions of the push notification in this version of the software, which is something that Apple talked about for, you know, applications like Twitter or Instant Messenger, messenger applications that would require instant up to the second notifications, where just like with the SMS, you'll get a little pop-up or a little badge on the icon. That's going to be available to developers, I think, in September, they said.
Right.
But so that's really, really cool. I can't wait for that, definitely. But I did want to point out that with iPhone 1.0, they didn't get to 1.1 immediately. They went 1.01 and then 1.02. Right before then, they went to 1.1.3. Right, Jeff or Bill? Do you guys remember?
Yeah, they did a couple very small incremental number updates before they did the bigger jump.
So this seems like it's going to be a really big update, and I'm hoping that with this big update, they've fixed all the problems. Now, with you've had your iPhone 3G for, a couple hours, I guess. You transferred all of your information over. Did you play with it before you transferred your information over?
No, because I really needed all my stuff on it right away. So
I know how you feel.
I just loaded the damn thing up and ran with it. And, so the thing that got me, though, was that I was not expecting it to not have my email passwords anymore.
Well, I think that's a good thing, and I didn't notice that, too. It doesn't have the email passwords. It doesn't have the Wi-Fi passwords. It doesn't have any of the keychain stuff in there.
Right.
And that's a good thing, because if you think about it, okay, you've gone out and you've gotten a brand new iPhone, and your computer doesn't know that it's you with a new phone, that it's for you and not someone else. So, if you think about it, anybody, if they had the password stored, anybody could just go to your computer and just pull off a backup of your phone and then just have access to all of your stuff.
Right. Now, and so you're absolutely right. That's really good. But the part that was bad for me was that I had no clue that's what was going to happen. I don't remember reading that in any of the documentation, seeing that in any of the videos, anything. So I'm glad that I did this whole transition today when I had the time to go back and look up my passwords from my super secret database and all that, as opposed to just doing a transfer, throwing my phone in my pocket and taking off on a trip and then getting somewhere and not being able to check email or any of that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not one of those people who has a good password. So I just have one password for everything, and that's really bad.
What we're going to do is get you drunk at New Media Expo. We're going to get your password.
That is one of those things that no matter how intoxicated someone ever got me, I don't think I would ever give that information out. But you can try.
Can I give it out?
You can give it out? Do you know it?
Yes, I do. It's admin, I think. But I want to go back
password.
To the previous.
I thought it was password.
I want to go back to the previous scenario. A stranger is in your house using your computer to set up their new iPhone with your account. I don't think them having your Wi-Fi password in their phone is your biggest problem, right?
Right. Well, they're in your house
on
your computer.
Even worse. My comedy career is over. But I don't know. I just think we always get paranoid with passwords. I mean, I always think, like, every time my computer asks me for a password or something, I'm like, why? Why is it, and then you could check something on eBay that says, leave me logged in for the rest of the day. Well, tomorrow I have to prove it's me again? I thought I paid for the computer. I don't know. The whole password thing, just, I don't think anything should be passworded at all. I think we should go with the anarchy thing.
Well, I kind of agree with you. I don't like having to type in the password. A little bit of security is good for me. I like the fact that the computer, lets me know that, hey, you're about to change something major here. Type in your password to confirm that you really wanted to do that. Obviously, security on stuff like Wi-Fi and, that kind of thing is good. But I don't have a password on my iPhone to, slide to unlock. That just annoys me. Same goes with my computer. I have it automatically log in whenever I reboot my computer. For stuff like the iPhone, let's say that person does, grab all that information off of your phone. Last I checked, at least with iPhone 114, some of those passwords weren't even encrypted on there. And I haven't checked yet in this current version, but they may not be encrypted there either. So that's probably a good thing, that it's not, stored over on iTunes and could be put over even if you can't get access to it.
That's kind of interesting. I didn't even occur to me that some of those passwords would be stored in the clear, so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm kind of password. I'm a little bit more paranoid than you are. So I really like the idea of having my iPhone auto lock itself. My computer, when I'm not traveling, of course, sits on my desk. And I have it set so when my computer boots up, I have to put in a password and type in my username and all that. And I mean, I'm even to the point where I wish everyone was using something like PGP or something, so we had digital signatures on all of our emails. And you know, hey, just because you're paranoid and just think the man is after you doesn't mean he's not.
True.
I just think that the man has all my passwords anyway, so the only thing I'm blocking out is the cleaning lady who doesn't know how to turn the computer on in the first place. The man, the government, Apple, Steve Jobs has my passwords. I can't stop that, you know?
This is true.
You know, actually, you're right. Steve Jobs does have your passwords. When we were doing beers together at Macworld, he was laughing about it. He thought it was great.
You know, I got to say, when I go to conferences, I actually do auto-lock my iPhone and my laptop, and it's because I know you guys are going to be there.
giving your password
pumped.
To Steve Jobs.
Seriously, that's – yeah, my password yeah, to Steve Jobs.
Yeah, we would give really your password smart, to Steve Jobs. You know? But you know that is a good point. It would be beneficial to obviously get your stuff auto locking when you travel. If you're at home most of the time, like I am, you know, with my computer, it's always in my sight. So it's good to lock down your stuff if you're traveling and that sort of thing, because your information is at least most of it's very personal. You don't want to get that stuff out there, especially your passwords, bank accounts, and all that kind of thing.
But don't get me wrong, though. I don't lock it when I'm around strangers. I only lock it when I'm around friends. What's the saying? Keep your enemies close and your friends on the other side of a double encrypted password?
Yes, that's it exactly. And, you're very smart for doing that.
Yeah.
Because if I could get into your computer and get at all the phone numbers you have, I would be calling people that you don't want me calling.
Right.
Like who? My mother?
Yeah.
You gonna tell her all the crap I said on the show this week?
Well, here's what I want with
with
iPhone 2.1 or just another feature. I want to have the keychain. Because that's synced with MobileMe, right? Because it's .Mac.
You can sync your keychain with MobileMe. Yeah,
but you can't sync it to your iPhone, right? So you don't go to your bank path. You don't go to your bank site and have it. Say okay. Here's all of your information automatically filled in there. I want to see that. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me, especially with the iPhone being, not a physical keyboard. So it's, if you're typing in passwords, they have that new, I'm air quotes feature where, it shows you, the last character that you type when you're doing your password thing.
I want them to give me the option to shut that, show the last character thing off.
Yeah,
because I'm Mr. Password Paranoid Man.
That should definitely
blame
be
you.
There.
It should be optional to turn off. But can I say, how come somebody didn't think of that like 30 years ago? When you're in a situation where you're not too worried about that, that's the coolest feature ever.
Yeah, it is.
I want that on my computer. I want it in Safari and OS X on my Mac.
Yeah, I think it is a good feature. It's just it should be something that you can opt out of. But I think the keychain would be phenomenal on the phone because I have so many things in my keychain now that I rely on. I think I was doing like a MobileMe sync, and oh boy, MobileMe, it was syncing something, and it said, "Hey, this is going to change 5% of your database on MobileMe. Is that okay?" And I wasn't even paying attention. I just hit okay on all of those things, and at the very last moment, I kind of noticed as I was clicking it. That it was deleting like 400 something things.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, so I blew out quite a bit of my keychain in that last sync. So it's made me, really glad for my keychain now that I've had to go back in there and put, a lot of that stuff back in there. It hasn't been too big of a problem. I have probably a few thousand things in my keychain. So I don't know. It doesn't, there were a few things that I didn't. That I needed to get back, and I remember the password for, but it wasn't such a big deal that I had to pull back from a time machine backup yet anyway. So watch those MobileMe syncs when you're doing them. But I would really like keychain on my phone. That would make so much sense to me, especially since it's already syncing all of your bookmarks and it is Safari. You'd think that it would be able to do that.
You would think. So. But then again, you'd also think that you'd be able to cut and paste and tether and
you know, for what it's worth, though, all these things we talk about that's missing from the iPhone, we know why they're missing, right? It's because Apple dropped everything and said we're putting all of our efforts into launching third-party apps. I'm not saying that was a mistake. I'm saying that, you know, there's a lot of benefit
priorities.
In that. But if they had put the apps off to year three, we'd have everything we're talking about right now, I think.
Well, I think I like the apps more, definitely.
And see, I don't know about that.
Yeah, the apps was important.
Yeah, I think that was. And that I think that was what most people were looking for in the iPhone, more than anything else. That and, of course, enterprise features. But you mentioned copy and paste, and I forgot to mention this. In the 2.1 update, they found a mention of that something that, you know, kind of sounds like copy and paste in some of the strings in, I think, in WebKit it was on the iPhone in the 2.1 beta version right now. So they may actually have copy and paste in the phone. And that's one of those things that even my mom keeps asking me for. And she's a brand new iPhone user. She's maybe a week into using the iPhone. And 3 days after she got it, she asked me where copy and paste was. And I thought that was great. I just laughed when she said that because she recognized that it wasn't there. But, you know, I think they're going to be moving down the list of these things, you know, once they hopefully they get the OS stable first and then start adding these features. I think we're going to see a lot now that they've been able to make this great landmark of, you know, getting the apps available and all this enterprise stuff as well. So
right.
I think we're going to see a lot of really fun little features every time a new update rolls out for a while here, I think.
I hope so.
I certainly hope so.
But I want stability first.
Definitely. That's the word here. That's what we want.
See, I think the apps came at the expense of stability. I think they'll clean it up within a few weeks, you know, at least get back to stable. But I'm not going to blame the jailbreakers for the fact that Apple's making crappy updates, but it almost seems to me like Apple got paranoid and dropped everything and said, we got to race these guys. We got to get these apps out before they spread their zombie thing too far. I don't know. It just seems like to me that the apps were like a year two thing, and for them to try to do it in year one was sort of an overreaction to something else that was going on. And I'm tempted to blame the jailbreakers for everything that's wrong with the iPhone at the moment. But
I'm going to disagree with you, and that, you know, not just because I'm a jailbroken phone user, but, you know, first off, using 114 and all those other versions with quite a few applications, it got to be that there were a lot of applications, and I had maybe two pages of apps that were jailbroken apps on my phone that were, you know, third party that Apple didn't approve of. My phone was rock solid, and I don't think that Apple really was that intimidated by the people who were using jailbroken phones, because it really wasn't that big of a deal for them. Okay, you know, whatever. It's just the same kind of thing to Apple as, you know, they're, you know, putting their phone in some, you know, weird iPhone case or something like that, or sitting on their phone. They really don't care. When it comes to stuff like unlocking, yeah, I definitely think that they're intimidated by that and they want to combat that. For sure. And I think that's one of the reasons that the Genius, the guys at the Genius Bar don't care about jailbroken phones. They just say, okay, well, you're going to have to restore that before you bring that back or whatever, you know, for technical support, because obviously they can't, do technical support for unauthorized modifications. And I think it's the same way with the macOS. And if you do something like, and I know that under Tiger, you could totally tweak the look of your interface, and you know, that kind of stuff broke things in updates to Leopard and all of that, but it wasn't, you know, now we're going to disown you. I don't think Apple really cared so much about that. They just didn't want to support it. I think the real reason that Apple rushed the SDK out, and I think it was rushed out, definitely. I mean, you can tell obviously that it was rushed out because it's so unstable. And I think they rushed it out because there was that great of a demand for it. You know, I think that was the big thing.
I'm going to disagree with you now.
Okay.
I think the reason Apple rushed out the SDK and the App Store was because they wanted to be ahead of the curve, because we have Android coming, you know, supposedly coming, and all these other companies that are trying to catch up to what Apple is doing. And I think Apple wanted to beat all of them off the starting line, and they wanted to have this whole thing in place to help solidify the iPhone's perception as the must-have device. And I think it was they were just trying to beat everyone else to the punch.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that. That has to be part of it, definitely. But I think a great part of it as well is, you know, the developers and everybody wanting third-party applications. And I'm sure that Steve wanted third-party applications as well on his phone. You know, various things like, you know, that are there, like the multiple selection of mail messages and that kind of thing. But, you know, I think it's a combination of those things. I hardly think that the jailbreak community had much of anything at all to do with, you know, having the SDK rushed out. But definitely the unlocking for sure affected AT&T. And that's why we had that change of the deal.
You know, that was actually really cool. What just happened. All three of us had reasonably different and very plausible reasons for the exact same thing to happen.
Yeah. That's good.
Isn't that the way it's supposed to work?
It is.
It is. And it just kind of took me by surprise because it actually did.
Well, are you saying that it doesn't happen very often or what? It
doesn't happen very often here, I guess. It's the first time that it happened.
No, it does happen here. I mean, that's what's cool is, you know, like, I mean, I got my views may or may not change, but it's like you make a pretty strong argument for why it does. I still think that these guys had a profound effect on Apple, but you made a strong case for why I could be wrong. So I walk away from this thinking, you know, I may not have it right. And that's kind of the whole point of it, right? And you guys at home can, you know, hear all sides and come up with your own thing.
And yell back at the podcast.
Is there like a third-party app that when they're yelling at their iPhone that just gets recorded and comes back?
I hope not. I don't want any more emails.
Just send it to Michael Johnston at iPhoneAlley.org.
No, it is a good point to actually mention that if you do have any feedback for us, you can send that to podcast@iPhoneAlley.com. So you can send your scathing remarks to us or your agreements with any of our points. But did you guys see that that Google actually added walking directions to Google Maps now?
Oh, thank God.
Yes, I did see that.
Yeah, I'm sure you, Bill, living in LA, you walk quite a bit.
Yeah, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm like the one guy who doesn't drive in LA, but I just live in a certain part of Hollywood where everything I walk to is real close, and it's like I've been using Google Maps to try to walk places because I don't know the neighborhood. The Hollywood Bowl is so close I could throw a football and almost hit it, and I really don't have a strong arm to start with, but I wanted to see how long it would take me, so I Google mapped it, and it had me going east somewhere and up around the 101 and back, and it was trying to take me away from one-way streets and heavy congested traffic, and it just didn't understand, you know. And so I'm dragging it around, and it was like this laugh out loud thing where it had me, I posted an image, and if you're walking there, it's so, I'm sure it was the right way to try. This is just such a great me, and I can't wait till it comes to the iPhone, assuming it is.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, where I live right now, you drive wherever you go because it's not a big city, but you know, when I ever go to Chicago, it's just about an hour away, so I go there kind of frequently. Or if I go to, you know, Macworld in San Francisco or whatever, I definitely want those walking directions. And it's really cool now to actually see that, you know, the time that it takes you know, you to walk somewhere definitely changes quite substantially when you switch over to walking as opposed to driving. You can actually judge that. I don't know how they figured that out.
In LA, it's actually the same. You walk at 4 miles an hour. You also drive at 4 miles an hour in this town.
So it's the same estimation.
There are times that I look at a car and I'll walk a couple of miles somewhere and that same car is still next to me, literally. I mean, but anyway, I'm just having a thing over this. I'm so excited. I want to cry.
Yeah, so hopefully that's coming to the iPhone as well. I'd like to see other you know, Google Maps features in the Maps application on the phone, like Street View. That would so rock. Because Street View, if you haven't seen it, is so cool.
Street View is cool. It's very cool.
It's borderline creepy because you can sometimes see people doing, you know, strange things, and the way that's done is the way they get the Street View is, you know, they just have a Prius or whatever driving down the street that just goes up and down each road with a 360 camera on top of it that takes a picture, and they, you know, put that on the map with a GPS. I don't know if they're going to put Street View on the iPhone anytime soon, but I definitely see that, you know, walking directions could definitely be on there, you know, in this next update. It's a very a trivial thing, I think, just kind of pulling a different set of information. And it would be awesome, especially with the GPS in the phone is accurate enough for us to, you know, if you're walking along, you can watch the little dot just move along with you, too. So I would love
we'll
to see
account
that.
For, we'll account for sidewalk traffic, like being stuck behind a large group of tourists or the four high school kids who walk next to each other real slow. The comedy career is not happening, but you can't blame me for trying, right?
You know, I wonder how they figure out, you know, what kind of pace they're using to figure that out. But they also have this thing that says, you know, this is a beta version still. You know, be careful where you're walking, which is I think is pretty funny.
You're gonna fall in a manhole open. But what, I mean, Google does that though. Gmail was in beta for how long after it became a mainstream product?
You know, it was still in beta.
It may still be, but that's. It seems like Google's pattern is to leave the word beta on there for a real long time.
Yeah.
So it may just be.
Well, you know,
I
have a funny story about, you know, using maps to walk somewhere, and this is pre-iPhone, which is, I was actually carrying my PowerBook with me. I think this was Macworld 2007. Yeah, it was a Monday, and it was the day before I even knew that the iPhone existed. But so I had my PowerBook with me. We took the train down to Mountain View. Because we wanted to go check out the Google campus. So had my PowerBook, found a Wi-Fi hotspot because, you know, it's California, they're everywhere, not to mention they're, you know, everywhere else anyway. And they actually had Wi-Fi, Google Wi-Fi, which rocked just, you know, everywhere down there. So I hopped on there and I tried to figure out where we wanted to go using Google Earth or something like that. And so we walked, I think from the train station, 20 minutes in the wrong direction.
Oh.
And so finally we decided, okay, this just does not look like what we were seeing on the map. So we bring it back out and figure it out. Okay, we need to go this way. And so the directions that it gives us, of course, are four cars. And so it has us going over this, across this overpass, you know, highway traffic. And it's funny because we're walking across this thing. It's already pretty weird for us to be walking across one of these, and it's not something for pedestrians to be walking on. We see these like skid marks on the side, the walls, you know, from cars kind of hitting up against it, and we kind of think that some of these colors look kind of like blood. And so we're kind of scared that, you know, we do it, and we finally get across and we get to where we're going and all of that. But I was looking at the walking directions for, because I was considering taking a train out to this this restaurant that I'm thinking about meeting Callie Lewis. She's up in Chicago for something, and that's pretty close by, and I don't have anything to do on a Sunday. So I tried out the walking thing because there's a train really close to my city that would take me all the way out to that area. And so I thought, okay, well, let's try this out. You know, walking from the train station to that restaurant, how long would it take? It said 45 minutes, but it looked like it was taking me across one of those overpasses again. So I'm not sure, you know, I think that's why they have that thing in there that says, you know, be careful of where you're walking. But, you know, it'd be awesome to have that in the iPhone. Definitely looking forward to that if they plan to do that.
Yeah, that would be a very cool feature.
Yes. I think we're going to get on to our iPhone picks if you guys don't have anything else to mention. Before we get to our iPhone picks, I want to talk about our sponsor, and yes, we have a sponsor now, thanks to the awesome people at Backbeat Media. If you want to sponsor the show, contact the Backbeat Media Podcast Network. Our first sponsor is Freeverse, and Freeverse, you've probably heard of them. They've been doing Mac applications for quite some time. They actually have an application called Comic Life that comes on you know, every one of the new Macs out there, so you've probably played with it. And so, of course, being a Mac developer, they've started doing iPhone applications as well. And right now they have four apps in the App Store, two of which are free. And one of the really cool applications that they have is a game, and it's called Moto Racer. And I believe Bill picked Moto Racer last week as his iPhone pick, right, Bill?
Yeah, you know, Freeverse has been around forever. They used to make Mac apps, still do, and it just seems like they just always come up with cool stuff for whatever device. So that's cool that you got them on board.
Yeah, and so Moto Racer is it's a cool kind of old school motorcycle racing game. It feels a lot like an old arcade game, but you know it plays beautifully on the iPhone. You steer the motorcycle by tilting the iPhone back and forth, and you go through the race and in various maps, and you punch the other racers and you know get them off the track, and you know you go through checkpoints and all that. It's really really fun. And they also have a Sudoku game for those who like Sudoku. And Freeverse also plans on releasing over a dozen iPhone applications and games this year, so you can check them out on the App Store and at freeverse.com. Moto Racer is $10 and Big Bang Sudoku is $5. They're both on the App Store and they also have the free apps. So support us by supporting Freeverse. And with that, let's move on to our iPhone picks. Bill, what do you have?
I was going to pick just one, but I think out of diplomacy, I'm going to have to pick the whole category. I was searching. I said, oh, maybe somebody made a map of the LA subway, which is kind of a joke because we have like four trains here. But I came across there's actually three apps for New York City subway and one for San Francisco subway. And they're all like in the $3 range. One of them's $10. I assume it's more complicated. I can't tell you whether they're accurate or not because I'm not in New York or San Francisco. But in those towns where everybody seems to ride the trains, I think it's just really cool to have. So those are my picks. Probably the best way is just search for the word subway in the iTunes store because there's, you know, it'd take forever to name all five of them or four of them that are in there.
Okay. And Jeff, do you have an iPhone pick?
I do. Of course I do. And believe it or not, it's not an application this time.
Okay.
It's a case.
All right.
And for people that don't know how I use my iPhone, that's actually saying a lot if I'm going to recommend a case. But I've been using Senna's Ultra Slim Pouch for my iPhone, and it's just like the best little cover I have ever found for my iPhone. And it's really simple. It's, you know, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's just a little leather pouch. And it's awesome. It doesn't add hardly any weight or bulk to my iPhone. Just slip it out when I want to use it. And I'm assuming they come in lots of colors. Mine's black. And I don't think they're very much either. I think they're like $25 or $30.
Okay. Nice.
So there you go. And I have a pick that I really, really want to have, but doesn't exist yet.
Okay. What's your wishful pick?
Would someone please make a Netflix app for the iPhone?
Oh, yeah. That would be great. I don't have a Netflix account, but I was really kind of expecting that there would be one. On the App Store for sure. That makes a lot of sense. And didn't they have a Netflix application, like a jailbroken version?
Yeah, they did. And I was really surprised to not see it on the App Store.
Yeah, so we want a Netflix application. And I'm going to have two iPhone picks this time. One is software, and it's a game called Acid Solitaire. And it has three different types of solitaire in there. The one I use is the classic solitaire. I don't even know how to play the other versions, but it's really fun. It can be really fast paced because you can just sort of tap the next card that you want to move over. So if there's a two that you want to put on a three, you just tap the two and it'll jump over to the three, and you know there you go, and it makes some of these moves for you, and I think that you can, you know, change the way that works, and it can be a little you can cheat with it if you want to, just like tap each one of the cards and just try and find the moves by doing that, but it's really fun to play, and you can also drag the cards around if you want to, you know moving the two over to the three if you want to do it that way, but it's Acid Solitaire, and I don't remember how much it is in the App Store. Fairly cheap. I think it's $5 or something like that. But that's in the App Store. And I have a podcast pick because that's what I do on my iPhone most of the time is when I'm out in the car, I don't listen to music. I, you know, want to get some more stuff done. You know, this podcast isn't really for getting anything done at all. It's just for entertainment purely. And it's You Look Nice Today. And I actually told both Bill and Jeff to listen to You Look Nice Today before we started the podcast because I'm enjoying it so much. It's Merlin Mann's podcast. And it's just a couple guys just, you know, talking about absolute nonsense. And it's insanely hilarious. Bill, you said that you started listening to it, and 20 seconds in, your brain almost exploded.
The funny thing was, it didn't have a start. You know what I mean? It didn't have an intro. It was just kind of, I think, what I'm said is this thing on. And it felt like I'd sat down in the restaurant and two guys at the table next to me were having a conversation that I can't not overhear. And actually, I did it real fast. I didn't notice that it said hot dogs, ladies. I had no idea who it was. Didn't catch the voices. You know, like if I heard your voice somewhere randomly on the radio, I wouldn't really catch on that it was you or whatever.
Right.
And so I just thought it was like two guys, you know, off the street or something. It had a whole new meaning when I found out it was those guys. They kind of lost me at coloncam.com. I won't mention what came after that because I don't want to saddle you with the explicit tag this week. But
yeah, it's fantastic. It's complete nonsense, and it's just so much fun to listen to. And I've only gotten through a couple of the episodes, and I had heard Merlin talking about it over on Twitter. I just had never checked it out until one of my friends played it for me in the car, and it's great. So check that out. You Look Nice Today, and Acid Solitaire in the App Store.
You know, and people need to understand just how serious Michael is about this podcast. Michael gave me and Bill homework.
Yeah, and let me be clear. I hooked up Michael with Pat Wilson of Weezer yesterday, and today he's giving me homework. That's how serious he is. You know, I'm giving you homework. Go wash my car, Michael. You know,
I would never give you homework that wasn't completely entertaining.
And it was fun homework. So, you know, thank you for making it.
Washing your car was fun too, I got to admit.
Yeah.
The only reason he lets me on the show, guys.
Right. We're going to be at New Media Expo in Las Vegas, August 14th through the 16th. Jeff, you said you're going to be making it out there with us, right?
Yes, I will be. Yes, I will be there.
Awesome. And, of course, Bill's going to be there, and Adam's going to be there. And I heard that Callie Lewis is going to try really hard to go out there. She may or not be there. You know, it's a big podcast thing for, you know, new media guys and gals. So if you're in the area, check it out. August 14th through the 16th. And where is that at? At Las Vegas Convention Center? Something like that?
It's at the Las Vegas Convention Center.
Okay.
Yep.
And so, yeah, check that out. Bandwidth for the podcast is provided by CashFly at CashFly.com. And don't forget to check out iPhoneLE.com for the latest news, tips, and reviews. And you can get the show notes at iPhoneLE.com/podcast. If you have any comments or questions about the show, send us an email at podcast@iPhoneLE.com. Go to iTunes, review the show. We love that. Leave your comments, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bill Palmer joins us from iProng Magazine at iProng.com, and you can see what he's up to on Twitter at twitter.com/Bill Palmer. It's always great having you, Bill.
Thanks for having me, as always.
We're really glad that your internet actually held up. We had to, for the Weezer interview, we had to switch over to my internet because, and it actually did hold up through that entire time. It just didn't hold up through having Patrick on. As well, but we're glad that it worked out this time.
You know, you could be censoring me in the future and I wouldn't know it because you could just be cutting me off. And it's like, oh, your internet dropped out. Why did I just tell you that?
Why did you just tell me that? Now I'm going to be doing it.
Oh, boy.
And Jeff Gamet is on the Mac Observer and at MacObserver.com and iPodObserver.com. And you can find him on Twitter at twitter.com/jgamet. That's J-G-A-M-E-T. And it's always lots of fun having you on, Jeff.
You know, it is lots of fun to have me on. I mean, it's lots of fun to be on, right?
Exactly. And I think that's it. We're done here. Another episode of the iPhone LA podcast is out the door.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A
phone. Oh, no, we weren't recording.
An iPod.
I didn't get anybody. Nobody gasped or died.
No, I figured we could just redo it again real quick. It's no big deal.
How are we going to communicate this?
Actually, it was a really short show. Finally.
So what are we going to do?
Well, it's because I have this new iPhone I want to go play.
Exactly. It's twice as fast and half the price. Or twice as fast and four times the price, something like that.
We're going to use a stylus.
Yeah, it's new math. I can never figure that out.
Every time you do a podcast and forget to record it, yuck. God kills a kitten.
No. Yuck. No.
I want nightclubs to be like this, where when I start talking, the music goes down while I'm talking.
You have to get up and put them away, and you lose them.
The only time that happens is when I say something embarrassing. Standing next to someone, I'm screaming, I hate everybody named John! And the music cuts off right then, you know?
In the conversation, and everything's quiet.
Oh, this part.
Okay, so I waited a lull in a conversation and shouted out. And that's when I realized I wasn't wearing any pants.